Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. If you're looking to grow your business, there's only one way, and that is by building real quality customer relationships. Most marketing software will claim they do this, but they never deliver on their promises, and you need to demand more from your marketing software. And that's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo helps you build meaningful customer relationships by listening and understanding cues from your customers, allowing you to easily turn that information into valuable marketing messages. And that's why 10,000 innovative brands, including all of our clients at WaveBreak, have switched to Klaviyo. Now, what's the secret to building those customer relationships? Tune in to Klaviyo's Beyond Black Friday docuseries to find out and unlock exact marketing strategies you can use to keep momentum going all year round. Just head over to klaviyo.com/beyondbf for more. Link is going to be down in the show notes below. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the WaveBreak podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, the founder of WaveBreak. And if you're new here at WaveBreak, we help e-commerce stores stop leaving money on the table with done-for-you email marketing. And the reason we do that is because without great email marketing, you're missing out on 6 to 7 figures per year of revenue and profit. That's already in your business. You don't have to spend more on ads. You don't have to hire a new team member. You don't have to, you know, find some new marketing channel. Like, literally, your traffic doesn't have to increase, nothing. The revenue is already there. All you have to do is add the right email setup to your business, and you make a ton of more money on top of what you're doing now. And now, knowing what to do is half the battle, and it's super complicated. But at WaveBreak, what we've done, I've created the 5-minute e-commerce email marketing hack. So what we did was we put together everything you need to know about email and put it into a checklist. All you gotta do is download it, go through it, and in less than 5 minutes, after checking the boxes, you'll know exactly what you need to do to increase your email revenue. It's our secret sauce, and we're giving it all away for free, no strings attached. To get that, you can go to emailsuccesschecklist.com. Once again, that's emailsuccesschecklist.com. There's going to be a link down in the show notes. You can just click that. It'll take you to it, and then you can download it from there. Definitely go check it out if you haven't already. Like I said, link is down in the show notes, or you can head over to emailsuccesschecklist.com. And if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you're subscribed so that you never miss an episode. And every week on the show, if you're new here, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores, and I get them to share their secrets. Today is no different. Joining me is Cindy Collins. She's the founder of a company called Euphoric Herbals, and she's been able to build a really amazing team. And she's been able to take herself from the sole founder and sole proprietor of her company and to really transition into a CEO role where she has a team managing the day-to-day of the business, handling her customer service, handling her fulfillment, handling her marketing, handling all these different things so she can focus on the bigger picture. And if you want to learn how to build a great team and become a true CEO of this business that you're building in e-commerce, you're going to need to listen to this episode. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Cindy.
Thanks for having me, Dylan. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So to get started, let's just start here. What is your story?
So my story is that, I started my company, while I was stay-at-home mom raising babies. I had 3 boys and it was just a hobby. I was just creating herbal products for my, you know, for my own personal use. And I later became a doula, a birth doula. So I had a lot of clients who were, you know, wanted products as well. Then it became for my, my community, my family, my friends. And then later I started selling at farmers markets and craft shows. And then eventually opened an online store on Etsy in 2010, I think it was. And then since then, it's continued to grow and evolve online. And so it started as just a hobby while I was, you know, just pursuing my curiosity from herbal stuff, being a birth doula, being a photographer. I did a lot of different things. But now this is kind of the only thing that I do. You know, now today we have our own standalone website. Obviously we're no longer on Etsy, but we have customers. We probably have over 20,000 customers in every single state, and 58 countries that we ship direct to now.
Wow, that's awesome. And I think your story is great too. Like, I've heard that story, I mean, like so many times, like the people, yeah. Well, first of all, making the jump from Etsy to like your own store, like a lot of the people I've talked to on this podcast, like that's where they started.
Yeah.
It sounds like, oh, like that's easy, but like it's actually really hard. Like what you don't hear on this podcast is the people who tried to make that switch or the people who listed things on Etsy and didn't sell anything. So great job with that.
Yeah, thanks.
And for the people who don't know, like, can you talk a little bit more about your company and like what exactly you sell?
Sure. So the products that we make are own proprietary products that I developed and formulated. And so I've been studying herbalism now personally for about 14 years. And I started studying it professionally probably about 10 years ago through different coursework. And the products that we make are mostly loose leaf herbal teas. We have topical salves and ointments that we make, as well as we have lactation supplements for nursing and puppy mothers. Having been a mother myself and having been worked at doing a breastfeeding counseling peer position at local hospitals and been a birth doula. So that's kind of my niche and my focus is maternal health and wellness and women's health. But we do make a lot of products that are not just for women. You know, for example, we have a headache relief tea. Obviously, it's not just women that have headaches. Anybody can use that tea, but a lot of the products that I do formulate, I do try to make them safe for either pregnancy or postpartum.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And so how old is this business? So you've been studying in this space for a while now.
Yeah.
How old is the company?
So I started the company about 10 years ago. Nice. And then probably started selling online probably about 9 years ago. And then it was after the birth of my third son. Cause I started with, when I first listed on Etsy, I had teas and salves on there, but I also had jewelry. I just had things I liked to create cause it was just a hobby at that time.
Nice.
But after the birth of my third son, you know, I think I had a client, you know, ask me if I would create a lactation blend, having worked in lactation in hospitals and having been studying herbalism, you know, just even for my own personal pleasure, you know, I understood how to create formulas and it was kind of came intuitively to me. And so it was right before he was born, I was working on developing some lactation blends for, you know, for mothers postpartum. And it was really those lactation blends were a huge catalyst and changed the trajectory of my business because one time I was running three businesses, you know, because clearly I don't have enough to do with having three boys. I should run three businesses.
Right.
You know, I don't have a clue what I was thinking. So that's with the lactation blends. And that's when I really start to see a lot of success and the difference that they were making in the lives of my customers and that they were having. And so then I started realizing I should pay a little bit more attention to this and what's happening here with these products and the success of them versus the other businesses that I was trying to run. But now I've been doing Euphoric Herbals now, I'd say full time, probably 5 years. It's been 5 years, my full time thing where I stopped doing the other things and I said, I'm just going to focus and this is going to be it. Like I'm going to go hard on this. And it's been really good. The last 5 years has been crazy and intense, because it's like having a fourth child.
Yeah, totally. And that's so awesome. Like, first of all, 10 years in business, like that's insane. I think like less than a third of businesses survive that long. Mm. So just first things first, props for that.
Thanks.
Great work. And then fast forwarding to now, like, can you give us a rundown of your business? Like if you can somehow share the size of it, like whether that's, you know, what your revenue looks like or yeah. Employee count.
Absolutely. Well, when I first started my business, I had small children, so I always knew I needed some sort of help. So my first employee was a woman who I went to church with. It was her teenage daughter. So she would come over after high school and she would help me make capsules because we made all of our lactation capsules by hand. So I'd actually legit grind my herbs in a small coffee grinder. And I had this small little capsule maker that would do like 24 capsules at a time. And because I was so small and pinched so many pennies, I would get my capsules put together anyways. And it's right. She'd have to disassemble them and make capsules, which I just think that was so crazy. But you know, now obviously we don't do that anymore. I actually have a contract manufacturer for my capsules. We no longer make those at our facility. And so now to date, we ship about a little bit over 2,000 orders a month direct to customer. So it's a pretty good amount. I have 10 employees and I have some contractors that I work with regularly. Like I have a contractor for ads, a contractor for digital marketing. I have a virtual assistant that's new for customer service. And then I have people, so we actually opened up our first retail store as well, which is an interesting transition from going, doing really well in e-commerce, going, let's add in a retail store at this really interesting time of, in, you know, in our, I think, society when it comes to retail. So I have employees that work just at the store, some people that just work at the warehouse, and some people that do just shipping. So I have 10 employees now. Oh, and then I have a new employee that's going to be just doing events in farmers markets.
Wow, man, you're building out quite the team.
Yeah.
A question for you. So like, yeah, as you've grown this business over the last 10 years, I'm curious, like, what has been the number one like problem that you faced as you've grown the business?
I think for me is so scaling, but also maintaining that scale where it makes sense and it doesn't make us insane. So, cause it's so easy. I feel like I have the means and the potential to kind of blow things up and go, but not growing too fast. So I think it's just being intentional about how I'm growing, which direction I'm growing, you know, making sure I'm saying yes to the right things. And saying no to a lot of things. So that way, cause if I know if I say yes to certain things, what other factors does that influence for us? You know, people, whether we're shipping, we're at the warehouse, what's our capacity, you know, so being mindful, like I can't say yes to everything. Because do I have the capacity and means to do that? So I think it's just mindful scaling has been the most, I guess, challenging thing, because there's a lot of things that come across my way, learning that I have to say no to, or that doesn't work right now for me, or just not, you know, just not right now, I'm going to not do that.
Yeah, totally. And like, there's a few different pieces to that. Like, so one, there's obviously your marketing that determines your scale. And then there's like the fulfillment and the production side of things. And then there's like the team internally, what you guys can handle. Like, is there any one of those things in particular that you feel like is like the hardest thing to kind of balance?
Well, see, we do all of our own manufacturing. And we do all of our own shipping and fulfillment. So those things, I don't outsource a lot of things. So I have to be very pay very close attention to, you know, the tension that's within those different positions and those people, you know, as far as if I'm pushing them too far. Did I answer your question? Sorry, my just spaced out for a minute. But yeah, I think that's the thing that I have to pay most attention to is just the back end work that's required of the people that are on my team. And and then also I think the other thing is just knowing that because I started everything so handmade and crafted as a hobby, that I have to learn to remove myself from the daily process of the business, of the manufacturing, of the shipping. I still do some of it when I have to and when I need to, when I'm training new employees, but pulling myself out of that role and putting myself in the role of the CEO and thinking like a CEO is definitely a challenge, especially when you started as a hobbyist.
Yeah, totally. I can kind of relate in my own business too, because I started out as like this person who's just kind of like a freelancer doing everything myself. And then now I have this team who's frankly better at everything else than me. But I want to talk to you about that, like removing yourself from the daily process, because that's something that's like really hard to do, because as entrepreneurs, we have this story in our heads that's like, nobody can do this as good as me. Like I'm the fastest, I'm the best, I'm the greatest at this thing. Yeah. So can you tell me a bit about like that? Like, what was it like removing yourself from the daily process? And like, how were you able to, because obviously now I would say you've done a good job at it. Like you have 10 people on your team. How did you do that?
Well, I think I started slowly. You know, when I added people in, I always hired for when it hurts and where it hurts. So if there's a point in my business that's creating tension and making challenges for me, that if it's something that's becoming bigger than myself that I can't manage between work and personal life, then I need to really consider like, that's something I have to let go and hire for, you know? So of course that was first, it started with manufacturing, with people helping to make product, because I couldn't make all the product. I couldn't do all the shipping. I couldn't do all the marketing stuff with growing my business. I mean, initially I could, and I didn't spend a lot of time on that, but now my job is full time doing all the other stuff of running a business. You know, so I think I started initially was like just manufacturing. And then it was help with, okay, I need help with shipping and I can do the manufacturing, you know, and just finding the right people at the right times to kind of plug them in, you know, I mean, and I just did like, I did my own ads for over a year and I got pretty good at it and I understood it. But I said, you know, if I really want to scale this, it's something that I'm going to have to let go. I'm going to need to find someone who's better at this than me, you know? And so that, of course, then I started looking for an ads manager, you know, someone, I let them be the expert, you know? And, you know, so I always look for people that are, you know, an expert at something that I can outsource something to, you know, people within my team, you know, when I get new people in, I try to kind of figure out what is their personality type, what are their strengths and the weaknesses, where are they going to best excel at? You know, so I may hire somebody for a certain position and hopefully that's the right position. If not, then I can quickly assess within 60 days if that's the right position for them. Because if they're an internal team member, then is it possible that I can move them to a different position where they're going to do better at? Or maybe it's a position, maybe it's a person that has multiple abilities that I can use them in different areas of the business, which is great because I like to diversify, you know, what everybody's doing. So that way we can have more hours and I can utilize them better, you know, and they can grow within the company.
Yeah, totally. I like that a lot too. And I like how you said that, like when it starts to become like a burden in your personal life, because I think so many people think like, oh, I'm just not being productive enough or something. But really, it's like once you hit a certain scale, like you literally like working, being more productive isn't going to help you because there's just, I mean, now you have 10 people doing all the jobs that you used to do just by yourself.
I know. And I feel like a bookkeeper and I've got an accountant and I've got, you know, all of those necessary essential things, you know, those things that really are a big, huge time suck, but they're really important. You know, and you might do okay with that. And even when it comes to marketing, like that's something I love marketing so much. But I'm not always the best person for it, you know? So I do marketing for my store, but I run my marketing for my store very different than my online marketing. They're just totally different. You know, so I manage the marketing for the store and then I outsource kind of the digital marketing, the SEO and the social media for two different other people. And one's an expert in ads and one's an expert in digital marketing and SEO. Those are two different things. Cause sometimes, you know, when I did hire my person for social media, you know, I knew that they had greater capacities and abilities that I could use in the future as far as like, you know, SEO, conversion, optimization. You know, so that's something that I think about when I'm bringing somebody on. Can I grow with them and can they grow with me?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And so like, did you ever experience this feeling where it's like, I really want to be doing this myself instead of like having to, what if I don't find somebody who's good enough? Or like, what if nobody's good applies? Or what if the job doesn't work out? Like, did you ever have those doubts or thoughts as you were growing the team?
Yeah. I mean, cause there's some times where like, even though I just finally hired a virtual assistant for customer service and it's really hard for me cause I've been doing it for so long. I did have someone that helped me for a little while. But as I'm training her, it's cause I know how to do it. It's so easy. It's easy and faster for me to do it. But if I don't give her the opportunity, now she's been working with me now for, I think 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So very brand new. You know, if I don't give her the opportunity to learn and experience it and we can do some training calls and recordings, then I'm going to be stuck doing it. And she's not going to be best utilized for what I hired her for. And then I'm never really going to free up my time to focus on the really important things, you know, so that might be like, I've got 10 employees here. So I've got to think about like HR and, you know, growing my company and really doing the vision casting, you know, the things that I need to do to grow this company in the way that I want to grow it. If I'm managing emails, I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like crazy customers, right?
Yeah, right. And, you know, even if I've hired someone that's not going to do it exactly the way that I'm going to do it, there's a learning curve, you know, because when I started my business, there's a lot of things I didn't know and there's still a lot of things I don't know. You know, so I feel like offering grace to a new person in a new position, or when I create a new position, that it's a learning curve and it's a working relationship that takes time. So I completely understand that when I hire someone, like it's going to take us, I don't know, 3 to 6 months to really get in a groove, you know, but within 3 months, I'll know if they're right or not, but is it someone that has the ability and the desire to learn and improve? Do they have the work ethic behind there? You know, so it's something that really, I might want to step back in and do it, but if I'm stepping back in, then I'm not focusing on all the other things that I have to do.
Yeah, totally. Some great advice I've heard on this is like, for people who are like afraid to make a hire or something, or like, I don't know if I'm ready, or like whatever role, or like you're afraid to hire again. It's like, oh, we found all these good people. I'm not sure if we can find another good one. It's like, just do it. Like you can, like what's the worst that happens? You're not a fit. Okay. It's fine. Can you afford to? Probably. Right. Yeah. And I'm curious too, like you mentioned a little bit about this, but like, what's your training method? So you've brought all these people on, like, what's your strategy for like getting people up to speed and then letting go of these things that used to be so intertwined in your role?
Right. So it depends on the position, right? So currently I do have a warehouse manager who's been with me now for 4 years in September. And so she's someone that started when my business was very different 4 years ago. So when someone comes into the warehouse, I don't have to be too hands-on there because she's always done the warehouse management of manufacturing, processing, scheduling, things that we've got going on. So I don't have to be involved in that process as much, but I do need to be present, you know, so I don't have to hold the hand in that era. But when it comes to like customer service, obviously that's such a really important thing, you know? So sometimes it's very basics, like, this is how you do this task. This is how you do this task. So it might be me recording videos and sending them off to my customer service person. This is how you do that. This is how you respond. But I'm also using like different apps and tools like Help Scout. Like I've already built in some scripts and some automated replies that gives her to work with, you know, and I understood now because I used to have a different customer service person who actually was local and that worked for me, that worked for manufacturing, shipping and customer service. I understood, having gone through that experience once more, what more I needed from someone from a customer service, you know, that I didn't have before. It had to be very specific, you know, and when it comes to shipping, you know, I've never worked in logistics. I've never worked in a shipping department or fulfillment. And so these were just things where I've worked, you know, I've learned through the process, like how can we get this my more organized system, you know, with when it comes to shipping, you know, and if I figured it out, if someone has the desire enough and they're willing to learn, I can teach them. You know, that's my mindset. You know, if I can teach them, you know, well, we can ship. I have one person on shipping at a time typically, and we only ship 3 days a week and we still ship 2,000 orders and all of our orders go out within 1 to 3 business days or less. Like we ship sometimes same day, next day. Like we've got a system down. It's pretty pack and pull. Like we have a system down that works really fast. So we could ship 200-300 orders in a single day with one person.
Right. And there's a big difference between hiring somebody and like just telling them like, figure it out. And hiring somebody that and putting them into a well-oiled system, especially one that you created, like as the business owner, like that's one of the best things you can do for people is just like, if you want to make sure a hire is successful, literally give them like a step-by-step framework to follow for the job that's already efficient. And then they can do it and improve on it from there.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I feel like you just have to make sure it's the right person that's in the right position and they have the process to follow, you know? So when I hire someone for shipping, in the last 2 months, I've hired four employees, if you want to count the contractor, the new customer service person. But in the last 2 months, I've had a lot of hires. So there's been a lot of training that's had to go on, you know? So when I did hire someone new for the store, two new employees for the store, I already had an associate that's been with me since I opened in October. And so when they were on training working at the store, I made sure for the first 30 days, they were always with one of my other associates or myself for the first 30 days. So that way we are available to support them for their first month, answer any questions before they felt like they could manage the store on their own when no one else is here. So I try to be very hands-on that first, you know, 30 days or 60 days. So that way they feel really equipped.
Nice. Yeah. I like that a lot. And I'm curious, here's another question I have for you. Like what's been the hardest part of growing the team?
Well, I think, you know, I want to be able to offer people more hours and more work, but I think being cognizant of their life, of their personal life. So I tend to have a lot of people that work for me, they tend to have small children. And so realizing that, you know, hey, we're parents first. And so that is our priority. Like, this is my passion, but I can't expect other people that work for me that this must be their passion, you know, nor is it their priority. They have a family. So I'm just trying to be completely aware of that and flexible that I get what it's like to have small children and that demand on your life. You know, so I think that sometimes is really important, you know? And then just trying to give them, you know, really the hours that they need. I'd love to give people more hours and people would love to have more hours, you know, but I'm like, I only have so much work to give you. Like, you know, I can't manifest worth magically. And I'm really, sometimes there's confinements that I have within my business to create work as well. You know, whether it's square footage or space or capacity, you know, but you know, I have some people that, you know, that might be close to kind of, you know, teetering close to 30 hours a week, you know, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure. That's really awesome. So I think I really like what you said, where you're like being mindful of what people have going on besides work, especially like as an entrepreneur, like we're so passionate about our businesses that we forget like sometimes the people we hire, like they like, sure, they're going to like the company or whatever, and a lot are going to believe in it. But like at the end of the day, it's like our baby. So we love it more than anyone else. And what's crazy is I see so many people like they hire a team and then they literally just throw and pile work on them and basically just like turn them into a workhorse. And they don't even like, like little things can really go a long way with your team. Like I've noticed, like even just complimenting people and telling them like, hey, I saw what you did there. Like that was really awesome. Like they, when they just hear something like that, it's like things like that. If you're worried about finding somebody, what you should really be worried about is keeping somebody. Yeah. And one of the easiest ways you can do that is just like you said, is just be mindful of their lives. Like,
yeah,
give them a great opportunity. Like your business isn't just impacting you at this point. Like it's also impacting all these other people. And that's part of what's crazy for me now too, is like, it's just like crazy to think that like now it's like not just, I mean, maybe you feel like this too, but it's like you grow in the business. It's like, crap, now I'm making decisions, not just for myself, but also for like the good of the rest of everybody else.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really important, you know, when you hire people, you know, I always call them like team members, or they work with me. They never work for me. They're not my employees, because it's something we're doing together, you know, and they're part of this just journey, this process with me. And I couldn't do the things that I do without them, you know. So I think, you know, everything that I learned, I think about leadership and culture, I learned from being in the military. And I say that because I had a really unfortunate, not a good experience. Like I did not like my time in the military. I had some really bad leaders. So I do everything opposite of that, where it's very much like servant leadership. And, you know, where, you know, I have no problem, you know, pitching in and jumping in when there's work that needs to be done, or covering a shift for somebody else because maybe their kid's got a birthday party coming up or something else is happening, or, you know, hey, they got sick. You know, I had an employee that I was on a business trip. I was finishing up my Goldman Sachs program in Boston and she got sick. And so another employee took her shifts and I sent her flowers when she went to the hospital, because that's the human thing to do, you know. And the girl who pitched and took her shifts, I got her a gift card and just told her, thank you, I appreciate you for filling in. And just being human about it and being kind about it, because you know what, you could, you know, money isn't everything. You have to go to a job that you enjoy with being around the people and you like that work that you do. If you get a job that you hate, regardless of the money, it's, you know, it's not worth it at all.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Yeah, I seriously couldn't have said it better myself. Like most people, like they don't even work for money. Like as entrepreneurs, we think like, oh, like who would want to take this job at X dollars and X hours or whatever it is? It's like, who would want that? But really, like there's so many people out there who would be so grateful for it. Even like the weirdest roles that it might be. Like it could be so specific and weird, and it could really make a difference in someone's life. And if you have a good culture, just like you have, Cindy, like. Yeah. It could, I mean, so many people, like most people have a job they hate and they're just like clocking in waiting for retirement or their pension or pension still thing. But yeah, I really love everything you said here, especially everything from, you know, transitioning from the hustler to the CEO and then growing the team. I really think this is going to help a lot of people. And as we start to wrap up here and before we sign off, like, do you have any closing thoughts or like words of advice to end on?
Yeah. You know, I think being a small business owner and trying to grow a team, I feel like sometimes you feel like you have to know everything and you have to know all the right answers. And I don't think that's true. I feel like it's okay not to know everything, and it's okay not to know what you're going to be doing. You know, when I started my business, it was just a hobby, and that's all it was for me. And now I think about it as a company that I'm creating and hopefully building a legacy company with a vision that will be around for hopefully, I don't know, 2 decades. I could pass on to another, to a child of mine, or do an employee stock ownership plan. So I'm trying to build something that's not just for me, but something that outlasts me and that has a bigger difference. You know, so while we create products, we're also social mission based. Like that's, so that's a huge part of what we do, is we actually do annual midwifery scholarships. We support every single month. We send off money to Haiti to support 7 women every month to receive prenatal, birth, and postpartum care because of the high mortality rate. We support Women for Men International, and we support Children with Children's International. So we're social mission based, because I feel like every, you know, I want to make a purchase has a purpose. And so that we're making products that are good, but also are we doing good as well for our environment, our community, and other people in the world?
Love it. That's awesome. I couldn't have said it better myself. Super glad to have you on the podcast, Cindy. A lot of great tidbits of advice, especially on building a team and growing it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store, and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.